Welcome to episode 2 of the Stories of Recovery podcast. This podcast is a collaboration between Mental Health Ireland and the HSE as part of the Connecting for Life strategy to reduce suicide in our communities. My name is Miffy Hold. I'm a development officer with Mental Health Ireland in the Cavan and Monaghan area, and I host the conversations here on the Stories of Recovery podcast. It's widely recognised that the sharing of personal narrative and lived experience of surviving and recovering from adverse events in life offers hope and inspiration to those who may be going through something similar. It has been shown to promote help-seeking behaviour and encourage people to reach out for support when needed. It's our intention that the conversations we will have in this series of podcasts will bring hope and inspiration to you, the listener, and encourage you to reach out should you need support. We also hope that the conversations here add meaning to the experience of those involved in helping to spread the word that recovery is real and possible, even from the most difficult of experiences. A list of supports and services can be found in a link below the podcast and will also be announced at the end of this recording. Let me introduce you to our theme and guests today. Today we're talking about RAP. RAP stands for Wellness Recovery Action Plan and is a proven model to support recovery from mental health challenges. It was developed in 1997 by Mary Ellen Copeland in Vermont, in collaboration with other people experiencing mental health challenges. Mary Ellen took on the task of researching what helped people with mental health challenges to get well and stay well, and the information she gathered from her peers led to the development of RAP. RAP is a universal tool that helps educate us about ourselves and our lives and gives us a framework to manage our lives more effectively. It consists of 5 key concepts: hope, personal responsibility, education, self-advocacy, and support. You have a wellness toolbox that contains things that help you feel well, and you begin your RAP with exploring what I'm like when I'm well. With this in mind, you develop your own daily maintenance plan. The following sections of the RAP are identifying stressors or triggers, early warning signs, when things are breaking down, and finally a crisis plan. Each section contains an action plan that you develop yourself in the course, so everybody's RAP is unique and personal. Joining me on this episode are Dermot Foley and Helen McCrarran. Dermot is a physiotherapist living and working in the Monaghan area who works in private practice and also is physio for several football teams in the area. Dermot was diagnosed with unipolar depression and generalised anxiety in the past and has spoken publicly often about his experience in the hope that it will encourage at least one other person to reach out for help. Helen is a social worker with the HSE in Cavan Monaghan Mental Health Services. She's also a RAP facilitator, delivering the RAP course to groups in the community, both to people experiencing mental health challenges and also family members and supporters. When Dermot attended a RAP programme some years ago on the advice of his psychiatrist, Helen was one of the facilitators. Through our conversation, we discussed the elements of RAP and our own personal experiences of using it. I will share information at the end of the episode about where RAP is available and how you can access it. Dermot, Helen and I met at my home to record this episode. We'll take the conversation from here. RAP stands for Wellness Recovery Action Plan. It's all about taking action in our wellness. And it's a structure and a way of managing ourselves, I suppose, and making sure that we include things in our day that support our well-being, that keep us well and on track and so on.
So I'd probably like to comment on that. So I guess we all lead very busy lives. And I know for a long time I was under the illusion things are going to get better, they'll be different next week. And I think what a wrap taught me more than anything is I need a plan of action for wellness. Actually, things don't get better and they don't change until you actually sit down and look at what's going to be different, that's going to make a difference. So for me, the big thing with a wrap was to actually realise I needed to make a plan to make things different.
And I suppose with myself, I didn't know what plan I needed to make or that I even needed a plan. Because when you're lost in the murk that is, I don't know, depression or anxiety, you're working so hard to keep your head above the water that you don't know even where the water line is to keep it up, which is interesting. Because until I went and experienced it, I had no preconceived ideas. I never heard of it before. And I was like taken aback by not just the personal stories, but the simplicity of it. And literally just the simplicity of, you don't feel so well. Well, what can you use to make yourself feel a little bit better? And I almost felt like I was cheating. Unfortunately, I was walking in with a lot of baggage, like, well, why am I like this? You know, why is this going on? Not realizing that the why is kind of immaterial to some extent. Feeling better on a day-to-day basis and putting together a day-to-day one after the other is inherently more important. The other stuff is important, but it's just not as important as actually feeling like you're swimming as opposed to drowning.
I've always thought the name itself, you know, Wellness Recovery Action Plan, sounds much better the other way, which is a plan of action for recovering wellness. So I think just as Dermot said, it starts with a plan.
Yeah.
You know, and that plan is to take you somewhere, whether it's to feel better in this moment or whether it's to look at the chaos and bring some order. And it takes real structure and real planning to actually manage everything.
You talked about the difference between swimming and drowning there, Dermot. Would you talk a little bit about that, where you found yourself, you know, before discovering RAP?
Drowning is a good kind of example. It's if I had to give it a colour, it would be kind of like a grey, you know, and a grey with a big murky centre of black kind of pulling you into the depths. I was in a place of insomnia and a lack of sleep, and I only ever slept with sleeping tablets. I was having probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 anxiety attacks a day where I couldn't really ground myself or even find that piece of, there's always this moment of peace after an anxiety attack, which is quite interesting, where you're kind of on edge all day, and then eventually it comes and you have, you know, a really tough few minutes, and then it kind of passes and this kind of peace settles over you for a wee while. When you put 18 months of that together, you get to a place of really solemn hopelessness, I suppose. Like, it's a place that I know that I won't visit again in its entirety, but I might dip my toe in the water with maybe an experience that has, you know, a death or something where, you know, it brings you to a certain point of feeling a little bit overwhelmed or hopeless. But then I click back into the stuff that I get taught and that I've learned about myself over the last few years. Unipolar depression and generalized anxiety disorder, I suppose, is what my clinical diagnosis would have been. But the truth of the matter at its lowest ebb was it was suicidalness and suicidal ideation. I remember walking into the first session of RAP going, I don't know why I'm, what I'm going, what I'm doing here, do you know? What's the purpose of this? Because there's no point. I don't see much use in this in the future. Because I didn't really see, if that was my day-to-day life, I didn't see myself as continuing on with that.
Yeah.
Not that I would have taken my own life, but it got to the point that I was suffering so much, I just didn't see, like, was it, like, there wasn't any point in doing anything, you know? Kind of was that, I don't know, it was kind of just that, I don't care about anything. There was no care and no hope. When you get to that point, you're like, I realised I had to change something.
Yeah.
So it was, the signpost was a psychiatrist from St. Davenant's that I was going to see at the time. She mentioned a RAP programme and I was like, what is this? And from there, stemmed putting little jigsaw pieces together, and it gave me the, we've all done a jigsaw, we've not liked, but it kind of gave me the outside of the jigsaw puzzle, you know, give me the real structure and foundation that allowed me to enjoy some parts of my day.
Yeah. It's interesting what Dermot was saying there, because the first part of RAP deals with the five recovery concepts, the first one of which is hope.
Mm-hmm.
And Dermot was just talking about what it's like to live with hopelessness. So the history of RAP is that it was developed by a number of people who were suffering from mental health challenges, and they wanted to know how to get through life every day. So they got together and they discovered, or they created, the five key concepts. So the first one is hope. The second one is personal responsibility, education, self-advocacy and support. So those key concepts are the pillars on which the rest of the program rests. So the next part is the wellness toolbox. So it's how we put together a list of things that help us to stay well. And I think what people forget is sometimes it's just in this moment. I need to deal with this moment. Tomorrow's too far away. Yeah. It's about this moment and then the next moment and the one after that. And then we have what's called the RAP plan itself, which is made up of the daily maintenance plan, which is what we need to do every day to keep ourselves well. The early warning signs, just they're very subtle signs that actually I'm slipping a little bit, I'm just not as well, or maintaining myself as well as I was. Then we have signs that things are breaking down and developing an action plan to deal with that. Then we have recognizing when we're in crisis. And the crisis plan is a little bit different to the rest of it, because usually it involves other people helping us out at that point and maybe taking a bit more of a lead at that stage than we do ourselves. And then we have the post-crisis plan, where we look back and look at, how did I end up in crisis again? Yeah. So what part of the earlier plans do I need to change? It's just, you know, it's very simple and straightforward. It's very practical. It's very down to earth. There's no fancy theories or anything like that. But yet, if you just start with hope, because hope is what keeps most of us going, but sometimes it's hard to have it. So it's recognizing that maybe family members or professionals or other people hold that hope for you sometimes, rather than yourself. Or maybe being able to, I suppose that's the value of a RAP group, sometimes you'll get hope from the other participants in the group. You know, they'll say something or describe an experience that they've been through, and you're looking at them, they got better. Wow. There's hope in that for me.
100%. That's exactly as we were discussing before, like one of your participants that Ethan came and chatted, he spoke really eloquently well, you know. He just comes in and he's just told a story, and you sit there, and it's the thing probably that I've taken away the most from the RAP was his input into the day and his own personal experience. Because sometimes when you don't have it in yourself, you need hope from other people. If somebody else puts an arm around you that has walked the line and that has been down the path and says, listen, this is going to be a rocky one, but you can do it if you stick your mind to it, or if you even just take that first step. And that's what he gave me. Well, that's also what you gave me as well, Ellen. It's that wee, I wouldn't say it's a push, I'd say just a wee encouragement in the right direction, that bit of hope. I still use the language in my day-to-day life, in my work life. Like, I talk about the wellness toolbox as part of my normal lingo, and it's always like it stayed with me a certain amount. And then you talk about when you know that you need to do something, your action plan, and then automatically I just go straight back to, well, I need to do a body scan twice a day. I need to sit in the mornings, and I need to play my guitar more. I need to, and it's so automatic. So I use the wellness toolbox regularly with my work. What are you doing to help yourself out here?
Yeah. For me, a big thing about wellness tools, so, is having one that does the job you wanted to do, because, and also, are we using them? Because we could all probably have a big list this long of the wellness tools we know, but are we actually using them?
Yeah.
And then what is it? I know today at work I was feeling really overwhelmed at lunchtime, and I had so much to do, and it was like, do I go for the walk, or actually do I do this written work? And thinking, I really need some fresh air. I need to go for this walk. And even though it seems counterintuitive in this moment to go for the walk, but I just said, no, I'm going for the walk, and I'm going to eat my lunch mindfully, and I need that in this moment. that's what a wellness tool is. I needed fresh air. I needed to get out of the office. I needed to clear my head. But it just doesn't feel like you have the time to do it. So it was making that choice in that moment. And that's what the wellness toolbox is.
Yeah. And I think that's really important, actually, because, you know, sometimes we think of these things as a bit of a luxury. But what the WRAP plan does is it shows you that actually these are wellness tools. So getting out in the fresh air is about your well-being. It is about your mental health. And then being able to come back feeling that bit more refreshed or relaxed or at ease, and then being more productive anyway. And it's not just about work either. And our personal lives, our family lives, our relationships, it is something that we need to consider as being vital, just like brushing our teeth, just like having our shower, just like having a meal, you know, all of those things.
But I also think, Mippy, that's one of the things, though, once you get into our WRAP frame of mind. When I was making that choice today, I had in my head, I think I'm slipping between early warning signs and things breaking down, because I'd had a tough weekend. My mum had been ill and I'd had an extra long drive. So I was thinking, today's only Monday. I can't go through a week like this. It's going to be, I'll have broken down by Friday if I actually don't get out and do some, if I don't stop it today.
Yeah.
So I think that's the outline of WRAP gives you that structure, because by doing my daily maintenance, I can keep myself well. I don't have to go down this slippery slope of falling apart.
Yeah.
Because I've had extra demands on me quite unexpectedly. So,
yeah. And therein comes, I suppose, the personal responsibility piece as well, doesn't it? Around making those choices for ourselves. That very rarely, I mean, nobody really ever comes up to me and says, Miffy, go on and take a wee break for yourself there. You look awful busy. I have to take responsibility for that myself. And my daily maintenance plan is my personal responsibility as well. And if I don't get up and get out for my walk, I know it on myself by lunchtime, you know.
Exactly.
So, it's my responsibility to make that happen. So you talked about the key concepts of WRAP there. The hope we've talked about, we just touched on the personal responsibility.
Education.
Yes.
So I guess education is really getting information about things we might need to keep ourselves well. So it could be education around depression, it could be education around fitness, it could be education around time management. It really, what do we need education about, considering our current challenges?
Yes.
Then the next concept is the self-advocacy, which is such a mouthful to say, but it really is learning to ask for what I want. But to learn to ask for what I want, I need to know what I want.
Or don't want. About setting boundaries is what I took away from that the most. Doing the job I do, there's so many people dipping into me. And not, it wasn't necessarily around work that I needed. I realised that I had to say what I mean. No is a perfectly reasonable answer. I'm really poor at saying it. We're very, very good at looking after others, but we're very poor at taking care of ourselves. And I think that's, like, setting those boundaries are really important about what you don't want, as well as there's just as important as what you want. Because one of my conversations today was, have you had lunchtime today? And her response to me was no. And I said, you haven't had 30 minutes. She says, I haven't had a sandwich since breakfast, and it was 2 o'clock. I'm going, okay. I said, can I tell you how long my lunch break is? And she said, sure. And I said, it's 2 hours. And she started laughing because she thought I was joking. And I said, I'm not joking. I've had a 2-hour lunch break for a long time, but I start earlier and I finish later, so it's not like I have a shorter day in any shape or form, but I know that I need that, because if I don't, when I get to 7 p.m. I won't go for the walk, and I won't go and do the workout, and I won't look after myself, and I won't have the energy to go home and do the things I need to look after, you know.
So am I right then in surmising that a 2-hour lunch break for you is actually a wellness tool?
100%.
Yeah. And building that into your day is a way of, that's part of your daily maintenance plan then.
100%. And it has been for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I think that's the really key thing about our app is I make my own.
Yes.
I choose my plan. I choose what goes into it. I choose what works for me. I can get support from other people. I can, you know, hear what their ideas are. but I get to write my own plan. And that's what I'm really hearing with Dermot, is what works for him is this 2 hours in the middle of the day.
Mm.
Whereas it certainly wouldn't work for me.
Yeah.
But it's just to point that out, that I think that's the key thing.
Mm-hmm.
RAP is a framework that you then hang your own plan on.
Mm-hmm.
And it is as unique and as individual as you and your needs and where you're at any given time. And what I find is that having a RAP to consult.
Dip into.
Yeah. And I have my wellness tools all written out in little bubbles and laminated on a piece of card. It's just something that I can pick up and look at. Now, some people have a box.
Mm-hmm.
And have actual physical objects in the box.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that wellness toolbox, I can pick it up and go, what do I need today? And I'll just see something on that piece of laminated card and go, ah, it's that. And maybe it's hydration. Maybe it's medication. Maybe it's walk in the fresh air. Maybe it's, you know, some fresh food. Your wrap itself is like a living document as well that you can refresh and renew and revisit and so on. And it's probably a really healthy thing to do.
I just wanted to go back to support there when yes. we talked about the hope and the personal responsibility and the education and asking for what we want and need. And I think when Dermot was referencing there about saying no and different things, it just reminded me of support.
Mm.
How important it is that we have the right support.
Yeah.
And that it's mutual. I think a big thing Mary Ellen talks about is mutual support. I'm helping you, you're mm-hmm. helping me.
Mm.
And oftentimes when we're in a hard place, it can be maybe the support that we have available to us in that moment isn't support that nurtures us or nourishes us.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it comes back to, I think, even figuring out the support we need comes from knowing what do I need. What yeah. my needs actually are
yeah.
and how I can get someone to support me in those needs. Because often we think we're being supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that from having worked so much with family members that they think they're being supportive, whereas their actions are not being received as being supportive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as a parent, mm-hmm. I know that firsthand that I think I'm being helpful. And it's not always perceived that way. You know,
yes.
So, you know, there is a bit of education in it as well, but I think that mutuality is very important.
I suppose the process of developing our own RAP gives us that opportunity to reflect on what those needs are.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be able to sit down even and go, well, what are my stressors? What things trigger me? What things really set me off? And so to be able to even identify those things, and they may be things, they may be events, they may be circumstances, and they may be people, and there may be certain people in our lives. And, you know, family are a great example that where they come in all shapes and sizes. And, you know, everybody has your best intentions at heart, but it's how that's communicated. So it's knowing who you can go to for that unconditional listening ear and who maybe isn't the best fit for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who may be really good at like cooking you a casserole or cutting your grass for you or walking your dog when you're not able. They'd be great fit for that, but aren't necessarily able to listen unconditionally to you without trying to fix you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so being able to even identify those things, that in itself, to me, is a wellness tool.
And also us recognising just what we need in any given moment.
One of the things I'm aware of about myself is that I have quite a big capacity for other people's stuff, right?
Mm.
But that capacity changes. It's a you know, it expands and contracts.
Fluid. Yeah.
And it depends on where I'm at. And it's being able to know that. And part of my daily maintenance plan is a morning ritual, which I won't go into detail about. But part of that is checking in with my capacity. And once I know, well, okay, so I you know, I'm feeling a bit vulnerable today, or I'm a bit tired, didn't sleep so well last night, or whatever it might happen to be for me, or I'm worried about somebody in the family, and I'm just conscious of that, so I mightn't have quite the same capacity. So I can go with the intention into my day of knowing that, well, I'm just going to mind myself that bit more today. And then on other days when maybe I can sense that my capacity is that big, bit stronger or bigger, you know, that I'm able for more. If I don't do that checking in, I am much more susceptible then getting overloaded and me becoming overwhelmed and drained, you know. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about daily maintenance. And I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on that. Dermot, because reflecting on your experience of maybe pre-rap, a bad place and you weren't doing so well, and maybe comparing the two of not having daily maintenance sort of plans and tools in your life, and then, you know, what's the difference for you?
There was no structure. Mm. So I can remember writing out a timetable that I should try and stick to. Mm. Pre-rap, every hour I was trying to fill up my day, because my day was spent with trying to occupy a mind that was problem solving around why I felt so bad, feeling bad, what can I do about feeling bad, why am I in such a mess, and how do I fix the mess? And then I'd try and think my way out of an emotional problem, and all I needed really probably was a good cry and someone to listen to, and a bit of structure was probably what I needed. I didn't have that prior to my day was spent, I've used the analogy before, treading water, so trying not to have an anxiety attack, trying not to feel bad. But inherently, when you are trying not to do something, don't think of a pink elephant. Okay, well, here we go, and they're all dancing around in a big circle for me. So it's like, so I spend all my day trying not to be something when inherently I was it anyway. So with meeting a lot of folks on the rap, the people who participated plus the facilitators, I remember one of the people who were involved in it, like one of her indicators that things were breaking down was that she started to trip. It's really interesting because I know when I'm getting really stressed and tired that I really bumble over my words and I can't get them out and I repeat the same thing, that I'm like kind of like, what's going on? I'm a bit tired and I haven't slept enough last night. And Dermot, have you actually been sleeping 8 hours? And it's like, no, I haven't. Are you booking in people in your 2-hour lunchtime? Might have done it a few days this week and I might have done it last week. Have you been out for a walk? Have you gone hiking? So my toolbox now looks like, I like hiking, I like to open doors, I love people, and I love all my patients equally, and I love doing my job and everything, but I also love not speaking to anybody and leaving for a full day, making at least 13 hours of no one, not my phone, not WhatsApp, not anything, just airplane mode in a big mountain, and obviously my maps, so I don't get lost, don't worry, not me. So that's all part of it. And then meditation and mindfulness has been a staple for me throughout my recovery. And as long as I breathe, I will always take a mindful breath. You know, it's that important. It's as important as eating for me. And mindfulness community and the friends I've met through the mindfulness community in Plum Village has been very, very important to me as well. There's lots of others. There's exercises are vitally important to me, and playing the guitar and enjoying my friends and enjoying a pint, which I do now, which I didn't do then. I stopped drinking for a long time, for about 18 months. So it's just very, very different. Yours will be very different, I'm sure. Yours is very different. Yeah.
And I think what I'm really hearing you say, and from what you said as well, Miffy, about checking in with your capacity. You know, every day we need to nurture ourselves. You know, we can't, we'll say, I know it's very easy to say at work, oh, at the weekend, I'll. Well, you know, at the weekend, you have other demands, you have family, you have catching up with yourself. So for me, the daily maintenance plan is about nurturing myself every day. And it's not putting it on the long finger. It's actually recognizing, well, to stay well, guess what? I need to do something every day. And that's what keeps me well.
Yeah. I know from my own experience of rap, both as a participant and as a facilitator, that, you know, you hear other people's stories and they resonate, or they make you realize, gosh, I'm not the only one. Or you hear somebody and you go, wow, that's a really good idea, I never thought of that, you know. And that peer support is really powerful, because RAP is delivered as a course with groups of people. You have this wonderful mix in the room, richness of experience there, and it's like a pool to draw on and get ideas for your own wellness toolbox, and get insight into yourself through other people's experience.
Where do you go to have honest conversations, really? You know, most of us, our lives are very not so much that we have dishonest conversations, but they're very surface.
Mm. Yes.
How are you today? Maybe good. How are you today, Dermot? How's life treating you? You know, and to me, the rap group is a place where you create such a safe environment that people are able to be and have honest conversations. And that's why I think you begin to have more soul conversations.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Real nuggets of life.
Yeah, real nuggets of life. And you're talking from the heart.
Mm.
And it's that speaking from the heart that actually helps us, I think, get better. If you really embrace the five concepts and your maintenance plan, you really stack the odds in your favour that you stay well rather than go into crisis. Something I think we never really ask ourselves is, who am I when I am well?
Yes.
And if you can answer that question, it really gives you that benchmark that, you know, I think you described it earlier about the stutter.
Mm.
You know, what's telling me actually my wellness is slipping? But because most of us don't know who we are when we're well, we don't recognize ourselves becoming unwell.
Yeah.
So I think that's something I would just like to, if I was to leave people with a last thought, it would be, actually, who am I when I am well?
Thank you for joining us and listening to this episode of the Stories of Recovery podcast. I hope you found the conversation between myself, Dermot, and Helen interesting. At the moment, RAP courses are restricted to online options. Depending on public health restrictions being lifted, it's hoped that programs will resume in person early in 2022. Suicide or Survive are the main organisation that offer RAP in Ireland. You can access their online courses by visiting www.suicideorsurvive.ie/programs/RAP programs. RAP is licensed by the Copeland Centre and information and resources can be found on www.copelandcentre.com. If you'd like to avail of support or information on services for yourself or someone you know, you can visit the HSE website www.yourmentalhealth.ie for general information as well as how and where to get support. You should always contact your GP, doctor, or other health professional you might be in contact with if you have concerns about your mental health and well-being. In the event of an emergency, call 999 Emergency Services if you or someone you know is at risk of harming themselves. For crisis support, you can contact Samaritans on 116 123 or email joe@samaritans.ie. For further resources and information on recovery and promoting mental health and well-being, please visit www.mentalhealthireland.ie/resources, where there's a wide variety of downloadable resources, webinar recordings, videos and links that are informative and supportive, including family recovery, farming and mental health, recovery colleges and more. Thank you for listening, and until next time, bye for now.